Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, Pastor, Chapter County Congregation, I've got a chapter. And the other text of today is October 15, 2023, and it is a Bull 1, 2027. This is a new moon Sabbath. We're going to start our service today with a song entitled, We're Marching to Zion. Come, we that mother of, and let her joys be known. Join in a song with a sweet accord. Join in a song with a sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Marching up to Zion, beautiful city of love. Let those refuse to sing who never hear our love. The children of the heavenly King, the children of the heavenly King, they speak their joys abroad, they speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Marching up to Zion, in the city of God. The hill of Zion will a thousand sacred trees before it is heavenly here, before it is heavenly here, I walk the golden streets of off the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion, the wonderful city of Zion. So let our songs abound, and every tear be dry. We're marching to Emmanuel's throne. We're marching to Emmanuel's throne. Prepare worlds on high, prepare worlds on high. We're marching Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of Zion. First, we're going to do a prayer thought. Our message today is taken from Two Timely Greetings, number 41, by Vicky Hutter. And our sermon is Current Events, the Palestine Situation, and How Close the Separation. Well, this is present truth now. Vicky Hutter did this November 6, 1948. That was the year that Israel became a free nation. It became a nation again. May 14, 1948. So, at the time of Vicky Hollis gave this, this was present truth then. 48? Okay. Nearly 70 years ago. Okay, now we're going to have a prayer thought though. It's going to be taken from Psalms 81. Psalms 81, it says, sing aloud unto Yahweh, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh of Jacob, take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the Yahweh of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. This is talking about Joseph when he was down there in Egypt. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Yes, Paul says that Yahshua was that rock in the cloud, 1 Corinthians 10:4. That brought Israel out of Egypt with Moses. When open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So it said, but my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Now, what Yahshua said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So who is this here talking to David? This is Yahshua, the Son. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. For the haters of the Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him, that their time should have endured forever. It should have said that their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. And that rock is a symbol of Yahshua in the wilderness. Okay, that's the end of our prayer thought. Now we'll go into our regular sermon entitled Current Events, the Palestinian Situation, and How Close to Separation. Okay, it says, I've been asked to give a study on current events, on the Palestinian situation, and on the separation caused by the slaughter that is forecast in Ezekiel's vision. Well, we just had a Palestinian situation here last Sabbath, the day after the solemn assembly, on the 23rd of October. We had the Palestinians from the West Bank, the Hamas. They had secretly attacked 29 kibbutzes in Israel and slaughtered over 1,300 Israelites. Okay. Well, those two main leaders of Hamas that did all that, they just got killed yesterday. So they didn't last but about 6 days, and they're dead and gone. But nevertheless, the Palestinian situation is an uprising in Israel today, 2023. Okay, it says, I wish that I could tell you all you want to know, but I cannot say how soon the separation for the purification or the purification of the church. Testimony Volume 5, page 80, will take place. Alright, let's do that again. I wish that I could tell you all you want to know, but I cannot say how soon that the separation with the, by the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church will take place. Yahweh alone knows the time. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. All I know is that it cannot take place before we prepare the way, before our Yahweh's given work in the connection with Ezekiel 9 is done. Then it will come to pass that the Yeshua, the Son, will suddenly come unto his temple, the church, and purify the sons of Levi, their ministry. Malachi 3:1-3. But those who receive not the mark will fall under the slaughter weapons of the angels, as did the unfaithful firstborn in the night of the Passover in the land of Egypt. I am however certain that Yah will not keep us ignorant of the things we ought to know. If it becomes necessary for us to know ahead of time the day and hour of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the antitypical Passover, at the antitypical Passover, we will be told. Yes, we shall know at least as much in advance as Moses knew about the Passover in his day. He did not know months ahead of the day and hour of the events that were then to take place, but he was instructed of his and of the people's duties and of what to expect from day to day. Neither did he know beforehand that they were to camp against the Red Sea, but as a cloud led them there, and as the Egyptians followed close behind, he was then told what to do. Moreover, at the time they crossed the sea, he did not know that they were to spend 40 years in the desert, nor that the grown-ups among them were to perish while on their journey to the promised land. Thus must it be today, because the secret things belong unto the Yahweh, that those things which are revealed belong unto us and unto our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 29:29. For Yahweh knows how to lead and how to save. Let's do it again. For the Yahshua the Son, he knows how to lead and he knows how to save, because it's by his blood that we are saved. Those that are saved by the blood of Yahshua. That's why it says Yahshua knows how to lead and he knows how to save, because he has the means to do it with. And that's the blood of the everlasting covenant. I cannot therefore give you light beyond what inspiration makes known. I can only speak of the things that are revealed. For the most exciting current event that we know of is the presidential election, which stands only 2 days in the future. As the nation sees it, this is now the biggest thing in the world, even though many will not get what they want, for each one of the different parties has named its own nominee on the presidential ballot, but only one president is to be elected. All seem to think that peace and prosperity depend upon the man they put in the White House, upon the authority of the word, though I stand to tell you that regardless who is put in the office, there will be no peace and desirable lasting prosperity, for the Yahweh is left out of the plans that have been devised, although he alone can give what we are after. And now how may we know that the Yahweh is not taken into partnership? The clue that gives the answer is this. If the church members themselves leave Yahweh out of the consideration and go unto men for counsel instead of unto Yahweh, then how can one expect the world to go unto him? I have in my possession hundreds of letters from our own denomination which prove this very thing. They give me this information by saying, I never read your literature and I never will. Our ministers have investigated your teaching and they have found them to be false. We have all the truth we need, nothing more. Take my name off your mailing list. Practically all of these brethren that are trapped by the latest sins have need of nothing. I dare attempt to refute the message of the present truth by quoting from Sister White's writing, in spite of the fact that their quotations are irrelevant to the subject and misconstrued in their own mind. All quote passages which the leading brethren have cunningly passed on to them in their brochures against us, and all of them sang the same latest sin song which the leading brethren have put into their mouths. These things again and again prove that instead of using their own Yahweh-given reason, the multitude are led by the minds of a few hostile brethren. Well, these hostile brethren are these Jesuit infiltrators of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists that have infiltrated Ellen G. White's Seventh-day Adventist Church. I always make a distinction between two Seventh-day Adventist churches. The original one is Ellen G. White, 1844, that had the movement for the 10th parabolic hour. In Matthew 20, verse 5, she was called at the 9th hour to head up the Advent movement. The General Conference formed in 1863 by Ellen G. White's husband, James White. They were offshoots, Jesuit infiltrators that infiltrated and called themselves General Conference Seventh-day Adventists. They renamed Ellen G. White's Seventh-day Adventist Association to the General Conference Seventh-day Adventist Association. So that's who these hostile brethren are that Vicki Hoffer's talking about. These are those Jesuit Catholic infiltrators that have taken over the Adventist Church. They're not genuine Adventist ministers. Okay, it says, passages though, such as the ones I'm about to read to you, are kept away from them. Let me now read these simple and to the point lines of inspired writ, which need no comments, introduce nothing that will cause dissension without the clear evidence that in it Yahweh is giving a special message for this time. But beware of rejecting that which is the truth, for the great danger with our people has been that of depending upon men and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves, or when in evidence, have confidence in the leading men and accept the decisions they make. And thus many will reject the very messages that the Yahweh sends unto his people, if these leading brethren do not accept them. If these leading Jesuit infiltrators do not accept them, no one should claim that he has all the light there is for the Yahweh's people. The Yahweh will not tolerate this. First amongst the messages, 106, 7. We must study the truth for ourselves. No man should be relied upon to think for us, no matter who he is or in what position he may be placed. We are not to look upon any man as a criterion for us. We are to counsel together and to be subject one to another, but at the same time, we are to exercise the ability Yahweh has given us in order for the learning of what is with the truth. Each one of us must look unto Yahweh for the divine enlightenment. We must individually develop a character that will stand the test in the day of the Yahweh. We must not become set in our ideas and think that no one should interfere with our opinion. Testimonies to Ministers, page 109 and 10. Yahweh wants us to depend upon Him and not upon man. He desires us to have a new heart. He would give us revealings of light from the throne of Yahweh. Testimonies and Ministers, page 111. Whatsoever may be his position of authority, no one has a right to shut away the light from the people. When a message comes in the name of Yahweh unto his people, no one may excuse himself from an investigation of his claim. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 28. Does not the denomination's perverted trend in finding heaven revealed truth prove to you that Yahweh is left out of the consideration, that in his place are put those who are supposed to be his servants? What else can it be if man is consulted when the Spirit of Yahweh should be? Are we not told by the Scriptures that the Spirit Himself is to lead us individually into all the truth? That we are not to make flesh our arm by having someone else decide for us what is with the truth and what is with the error? Are we not denying the Spirit and our connection with the heaven when we take a substitute and still worse, is it to go for advice to one who is already against that which you expect him to approve or disapprove? If Yahweh can teach the cattle individually to seek water in the lower lands, not on the top of the mountains and hills, and to search for a place of the warmth where the wind does not strike, then why can he not personally show us what is with the truth and what is with the error? Were the founders of the church directed into the truth by the counsel of the priest and the rabbi, or by the Spirit of Yahweh in their hearts? Are we not individually told, beloved, leave not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of Yahweh, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit that confesses that the Yahshua is come in the flesh is of the Yahweh. 1 John 4:1 and 2. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 21. Moreover, Amos, by the eye of inspiration, looked down through the centuries deep into the antitypical apostolic era and declared, Amos 1:2, for the Yahshua will roar from Zion and utter his voice from the Yahrushalayim. and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Okay, top of Carmel withered in 1955. The leader of Carmel died, Fitzy Hollow, causing Carmel to wither and the Anatote. For the scripture, you see, reflects the tragedy which took place on the top of Carmel in the days of Elijah. Here we are given the hint that there is to be another showdown between the prophet of Yahweh and the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal, in our day, even boast that they are not inspired, that what they teach and preach is what they themselves uncovered by the deep study and research. They even sneer at those who claim to be inspired of the Yahweh, for they seem to think that the Yahweh has forsaken the earth, that he cares not for the sending of his spirit as in the former time, that men are now so wise that what the Spirit can do for them, they themselves can do even better. For the truth is, though, that if there ever was a need for the inspired interpreters of the Scriptures, it is today, while many winds of the doctrines are blowing from all directions, bringing in the confusion, dissension, and disaster everywhere. No one sees eye to eye. Of this sad condition, the spirit of prophecy warns. Those who allow prejudice to bar their mind against the reception of the truth cannot receive the divine enlightenment. Yet when a view of the scripture is presented, many do not ask, is it true in the harmony with Yahweh's word, but by whose is it advocated? And unless it comes through the very channel that pleases them, they do not accept it. So thoroughly satisfied are they with their own ideas that they will not examine the scripture evidence with a desire to learn, but refuse to be interested merely because of their prejudices. For the Yahweh often works where we least expect him. He surprises us by the revealing his power through the instruments of his own choice, while he passes by the men unto whom we have looked as those through whom light should come. Yahweh desires us to receive the truth upon its own merits, because it is the truth. Testimonies of Ministers 105 and 6. For the world has never seen a more religious group, nor a more praying and pious people, than were the priests, scribes, and Pharisees in Yahshua's day. Yet they were the very ones who protest against Yahshua's teachings, who spread prejudice and confusion among the people, and who kept them in the darkness. Yes, they deceived the whole nation. Finally, if the Jewish Sanhedrin was not to be trusted at the Yahshua's first advent, then how do we know that the Christian Sanhedrin at the Yahshua's second advent is to be unquestionably correct? It was the Sanhedrins of the Middle Ages and down unto this day that have fought against any divinely led Reformation. And let me read to you that which took place in the pioneering days of the denomination. But the churches generally did not accept the warning. The ministers who was walking unto the house of Israel should have been the first to discern the tokens of the Yahshua's coming, had failed to learn the truth, either from the testimony of the prophets or from the signs of the time. As worldly hopes and ambitions fill the heart, love for Yahweh and faith in His Word has grown cold, and when the Advent doctrine was presented, it only aroused their prejudice and unbelief. For the fact that the message was, unto a great extent, preached by the layman, was urged as an argument against it. As of old, the plain testimony of Yahweh's word was met with an inquiry. Have any of the rulers of all of the Pharisees believed? And finding how difficult a task it was to refute the argument drawn from the prophetic period, many disturbed the study of the prophecy, teaching that the prophetic books were sealed and were not to be understood, for the multitudes trusting implicitly unto their pastors refused to listen to the warning, and others, though convinced of the truth, they dared not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For the message which Yahweh has sent for the testing and purification of the church revealed all too surely how great was the number who had set their affection on this world rather than upon Yahshua. For the ties which bound them to earth were stronger than the attractions heavenward. They chose to listen to the voice of the worldly wisdom and turned away from the heart-searching message of the truth. Great Controversy 3:8. If such has been the experience of the past, and if we all had to make up our own minds for or against the Advent truth, in opposition to the decisions of the priests and the ministers in our former churches, and if this was the only method of finding truth, then why should it not be so now? Have we now become less capable than we were before becoming Adventists? Are our prayers now failing to bring results? Has the Spirit left us, or have we turned away from Him? There is but one honest answer that can be given. The church is drifting with the world, and she too is expecting the world's great man, not the Spirit of Yahweh, to tell her what is true and what is error, whom to put in office and whom not to. Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Yahweh. Lamentations 3:40. For the idea that we as the Seventh-day Adventists have all the truth we need, that we are rich and increased with the goods and the need of nothing more, is the idea with which the Sanhedrin and the Yahshua's day indoctrinated the minds of the people. And unto this day, the Jewish nation has not recovered from the effects. Do not our Seventh-day Adventist building therefore stand in the same degenerating position of rejecting any light that Yahweh may send, if it does not agree with their ideas, and even if Yahshua himself should bring it down, and if it disagree with theirs, would they not, like the Jews of old, be dangerously tempted to crucify him if they could? Oh, the great need for the revival and reformation. And if such be the condition of the people in our own church, then what can be expected elsewhere? Return unto me, for why should you perish as heaven's cry? These are some of the current events which show that humanity is drifting farther and farther away from Yahweh and drawing closer and closer unto the individual self. we take Yahweh into the partnership, we will have peace, security, and prosperity. But as it is now, we as a nation and as a people are headed for the trouble and uncertainty at home and for war abroad, while the church sleeps on. Now as to what I think about the Palestinian situation itself, I think the Jews need to have a place to go to, but I do not think Yahweh is leading them. If Yahweh drove the Jews from his land because of their wickedness, because he no longer could tolerate them, then it is certain that he is not leading them back to it now, while they are of the same mind and just as hostile against his own son as they were 2,000 years ago. For the Jews, therefore, are taking the land on their own responsibility, and when the times of the Gentiles, Luke 21:24, end, the new state of Israel, as they call themselves, will then vacate the land much faster than they can now take it, unless they take Yahweh into the land with them. Yahweh is nevertheless to have a people there, that they will be the kind he tells of in the scriptures, some of which I shall now read. Jeremiah 30:18-22. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring again the captivity of the Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the tallest shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahweh? And you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:6-10, 34. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion, unto the Yahweh, or Yahshua, this is the Son, our Redeemer, our Savior. For this saith Yahshua, O the Yahweh, sing with the gladness of Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth with the child together, a great company, shall return thither. They shall come with the weeping, and with the supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Hosea 3:4-5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without the teraphim. After shall the children of Israel return and seek to Yahshua, their king, or their redeemer, and David their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. For the Yahweh will have a people and a land all right, but they all shall know the Yahshua. Those therefore who are now trying to establish themselves in Palestine are not that people. To learn who the people are that will inherit the land, read tract number 8, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. But you say, is there no prophecy concerning what the Jews are doing today in the Palestine? Yes, there must be a prophecy. Let me read it unto you. Zephaniah 2, 1 and 3. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahshua come upon you, before the day of the Yahshua's anger come upon you. Seek ye Yahshua, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, that maybe you shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. These verses of the scripture, you know, are to meet the fulfillment just before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahshua breaks upon a nation not desired. And while this undesired nation is getting together, then it is that all the meek of the earth, those who have borne the Yahshua's message before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the church, our council, to still seek meekness. There are, therefore, two people brought to view in these verses, the nation not desired, and the meek of the earth. Now, in the view of the fact that there is but one such undesired nation, the Jewish and none other, that is hated by all nations, this scripture cannot possibly apply unto another people. Also, the fact that now while we are broadcasting the message of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, or the Yahshua, the day before the day of the Yahshua's anger, the undesired Jews were over, Jews world over are gathering together in Palestine. That's what they're doing today. I say in view of all these things, now contemporaneously taking place, the truth of the scriptures boldly stand out, showing that the anger of the Yahshua is to fall upon the Jews unless they reform, and not they, but the meek of the earth are to inherit the land. And so according unto the scripture, Jew and Arab alike are to go out of the promised land, and the meek of the earth to march into it. How are they to get there, and who is to open the way? The answer to these questions we shall find in Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be moved toward the north and half it toward the south. And you shall flee unto the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of the Uzziah king of Judah, and the Yahshua, thus Savior, shall come, and all the saints with thee. Okay. This thee is the house of David, the saints of the 144,000. And if this is the house of David here in Texas, Okay, for the Yahshua himself, you see, is to open the way for the returning of his people. Isaiah 11:12-16, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people that shall be left from the Assyria and from Egypt and from Petros and from Tush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of the Israel and gather together the spirits of Judah from the four corners of the earth, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Isaiah 27:12-13, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall beat off from the channel of the river and through the stream of Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Yahshua in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. So the Yahweh opens the way, and the Yahshua gathers his people. Now about the war as it stands today. Track number 14. War News Forecast, which came out several years ago, tells the truth concerning World War number 2 and its outcome. For the track gets its light from Nahum's prophecy. For the war they're predicting, the prophet declares as far in the day of the automobile and the day men run to and fro while the chariots rage in the streets, jostle one against another in the Broadway while running like the lightnings in our time. That war, the tracks appendix, Time and Chance Solved Mysteries, proved is World War number 2. For the prophet saw the one that dashes in pieces Hitler, daring his enemies to prepare against him. Then the prophet saw the worthies of him who dashes in pieces, Hitler's worthies, stumble and their walk fall by the mistake in their march for the victory. And so it came to pass that after Hitler opened his guns against the nations around him and started breaking everything to pieces, the Allies went to prepare for war. Hitler caused his worthies to stumble by waging war against Russia while in war with Great Britain, and by going after Greece and Egypt rather than crossing the English Channel, when England, unknown to him, was almost to give up. Thus his worthy stumble and never rose again. Finally, Hitler disappeared and hostilities ceased. But according to Nahum's prophecy, and also according to the current events as broadcast by the news reports everywhere, the war is still on. It has not actually ceased, but it is only making a turn for the worse, yes, and it is only a matter of time before it will become even hotter than it was previous to Hitler's disappearance. Moreover, there has been no official declaration as yet that the war is over. No complete settlement with the powers which fought in the war has as yet been reached. Anyone can see that the world is fast getting ready to resume the war with a mightier and final blow of, if possible. Anyone can see, too, that the war was not won for the good of Great Britain, but for Russia, and that following the cessation of the hostilities, conditions have caused the world to consolidate into two great and hostile blocks, the Western and the Eastern blocks, not to mention the wars and rumors of wars all around us. This happened because Great Britain allied with the atheistic Russia, a government that is against Yahweh and his church. Thus Great Britain put greater trust in Yahweh's enemy than in Yahweh himself, and that is why the war is yet to be fought. And now, while the Cold War between the East and the West is on, the Church is too, by the Amsterdam Confederacy, are enlarging the size of each bloc. Both radio broadcasts and newspapers declare that all the churches except the Roman and the Russian Orthodox churches did send representatives unto the Amsterdam Assembly. For the Russian Orthodox Church, you know, is the Greek Orthodox Church. And why do you suppose the church that is in Greece joined the Confederacy, but the church that is in Russia did not? Only because of fearing the bloc they are in. For the churches too are taking sides with their respective bloc. Eastern or Western, what will the Roman Church do? This is talking about the Catholics. She too will, of necessity, eventually join the Western bloc. Does it not look to you as though the world is getting ready for a church and a state government? Have repeatedly pointed out that the world is unwittingly making a mighty effort to saddle the scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17 and to mount there on Babylon the Great. We are headed for the church and the state government, which Babylon the Great symbolizes while riding the scarlet-colored beast, and when the war gets hot again, Babylon may then replace the United States or United Nations thereafter. So it is seen that the world, in its attempt to overcome the obstacles with which it is confronted, is as it were jumping out of the fire and falling into the frying pan, only because it is not taking Yahweh into the partnership. For the world sees communism as a hydra-headed monster behind a bush, and the nations are already, so to speak, smiting their knees one against the other while they look at it. For their safety, however, does not depend on a fear and armament, nor on the man we elect for president, but on Yahweh, on him who holds the earth in space and who still rules the affairs of mankind. From the dawn of history until today, the great nations that have fallen fell when they were best armed and best and most independent of Yahweh. This should be a great lesson unto all, but who realizes? Yahweh, therefore, for the sake of his own will, puts in the hearts of the communists, or the communist-like powers, the 10 horns of the scarlet-colored beast who hate the woman, hate religion, as does communism, to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of Yahweh shall be fulfilled. Revelation 17:17. That's what's going on right now in the world. Now the statement to give their kingdom implies that they have a kingdom to give. In verse 12, however, we are told that they have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. When both statements are put together, then the statements say that communism could have a kingdom, could rule the world, but Yahweh hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. And that's your globalist, that's your new world order. This is not the Catholic Church. The beast is the globalist Illuminati. Until the words of Yahweh shall be fulfilled. They therefore only receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. After which they destroy the woman, the church and state system, and take the kingdom unto themselves. Revelation 17:17. For a detailed exposition of the 17th chapter of the Revelation, yesterday, then, tomorrow, just how this is to come about, I do not know, but I do know that the greatest of all wars is to be fought about the Holy Land. Behold, says Yahshua, the day of Yahshua cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Zechariah 14:1-2. Well, we've already seen this happen here at this last solemn assembly of 2023. The day after, on the seventh day Sabbath, we had this very same take place, Zechariah 14:1-2, the beginning of it. This prophetic statement Yahweh has put in their hearts to agree and give the kingdom unto the beast proves true. What I tried to say a while ago, that when any nation became great and on its own without Yahweh, built a gigantic war machine for the defense and aggression, then it was that the nation came to naught, for the tranquility and prosperity of any nation and people therefore depends on their stand with Yahweh, not on their military strength. Let me now remind you what your inspiration has to say of the association of the nations and peoples according unto the current events. For light on the subject, we turn unto the 8th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. Time will not permit me to restudy with you the whole chapter, and I do not think it is necessary, for we studied it not long ago. You remember that the chapter unveils a confederacy which the ancient Israel, the 10-tribe kingdom, the church, made with the ancient Syria, a sovereign power of the world, to war against Judah, a sister kingdom church. Inspiration makes the type of that church and state confederacy, and by it definitely points out the trend which the nominal churches and the sovereign powers of the world are to take now in the Antitype. It makes known, moreover, that they will not prosper in it. I shall now read to you what Yahweh himself thinks of it, Isaiah 8:8-10. And he shall pass through Judah. That's the house of David. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even unto the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of the land. O Emmanuel, associate yourselves, O ye people, and you shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of the far countries. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and they shall come to not speak the word, and it shall not stand, for Yahweh is with us. Who is this us? Judah, the house of David. Judah, the lawgiver, because Yahshua is the king upon the throne of Judah at this time. That's why Yahweh the Father is with us, because his son is sitting as the king upon David's throne in it. According unto St. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23, the name Emmanuel belongs unto Yahshua, and by the interpretation it means Yahweh with us. Plainly then, the explanation, O Emmanuel, shows that inspiration is speaking unto Yahshua, and since he could not be thus addressed before he was born of a woman and received the name Emmanuel, it is obvious that this association of the peoples is to be found in the typical apostolic era and the era in which Emmanuel lives. And that would be in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. This is present truth. Now, the statement, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for the Yahweh is with us. Plainly says what I tried to tell you, that the nations, including the churches, have left Emmanuel, Yahweh with us, out of their plan, that what they are trying to do, they are doing on their own initiative and resources, for the words Yahweh is with us, coming from one who is not with the assemblies of the people, clearly implies that Emmanuel is not with them, and that therefore their works shall come to naught. From these scriptures it is seen that the current events brought about by the two opposing blocks, the East and the West, are not going to work out according to the human plan. That the plans made by the Confederacy, Federation of the Nations and People are to come to naught except they consult Yahweh and take him into the partnership. Let us now hear what the Yahshua would have us to do, the stand he would have his people take. Isaiah 8:11-12. For the Yahshua spake thus unto me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy unto all them unto whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. For the fear which the people fear is not to be our fear, neither are their plans to be our plan. Our duty is to, Isaiah 8:13, sanctify the Yahshua of the host, that's the Son, himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. This brings the end of our study. Shall contact us at the 11th hour corner. Number 11, click on the audio archives, hear this message. Well, we're going to close now with a song. Let's continue now on page 20. To sanctify the Yahshua is to be all for him, to have no one else in his stead, to put your entire trust in him, not making flesh your arm, for he alone is able to see you through. And though you should be the only one in all the world to take such a stand, he will not fail you. To such be your case, you will then become heaven's greatest hero. Isaiah 8:14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense unto both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This truth you know well now, just as has any divinely revealed truth at any time in the past become a rock of offense and a snare unto many, yes, as Yahshua himself became such unto the Jews, because rather than taking their stand firmly for the divine truth, they are becoming as hostile against it as were the Jews in the Yahshua's day. Since the prophecy continues through the 9th chapter, we shall read Isaiah 9:20-21. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm, for the Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim's Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. That's the lawgiver. That's where Yahshua sat upon the throne of David here in Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Such will be the result of rejecting Yahweh and his counsel. All who take their stand with the multitude against Yahweh's people will find themselves in the same predicament as the Midianites found themselves in the Gideon's time. As the light breaks out, they will kill one another, but the faithful will be delivered. This, however, is not all. Isaiah 8:15. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. According to this scripture, many of them will find the rapture not to their liking and not according to their teaching of it, for the Yahshua command is. Isaiah 8:16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. A disciple is one who follows Yahshua on and the divinely revealed truth, which he accepts not because others do or do not, but because the Father which is in the heaven has through his Spirit personally convinced him of it, Matthew 16:17. Because independent of what others do or say, he is personally persuaded by the Spirit, and the testimony is his living word passed on by the chosen and Spirit-filled messengers, the Spirit of the prophecy at work, Revelation 19:10, Hence, to bind up the testimony among his disciples is to confirm the spirit of prophecy among them and them only, and to seal the law, that's the law of the sanctuary, among them is to have the law authorized and fortified by the truth, to have them see the necessity of keeping it, and to have them calmly say, Isaiah 8:17, and I will wait upon the Yeshua that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Isaiah 8:18, behold, I and the children whom the Yeshua hath given me are for the signs and for wonders in Israel. Then the Yeshua of the host which dwelleth in Mount Zion, that's Mount Zion, the 12th hour, that's who we are today. See, it will be seen that those who take a firm stand on the side of the truth will be for the signs and wonders. Okay, Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto the wizards that peep, and that mother, should not a people seek unto the Yahweh for the living unto the dead? Here the world is shown to give greater attention to spiritualism than unto thus saith Yeshua, Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. For the Yahweh people will know that those who take a stand other than the one which truth here sits forth are so done because the spirit of the truth is not dwelling in their heart. And let us remember that to make flesh your own, to consult man, whom the Yahweh should be consulted, is every bit as bad as to consult the spirit of the darkness. Therefore also now, saith Yeshua, turn ye even unto me with all your heart and with fasting, there's that fasting, we're going to be doing plenty of that, and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Yeshua your Savior, your Redeemer, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Joel 2:12-13. This brings in about 5th hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And at number 11, click on the audio archive. Hear this message and more. We're going to close now.